you. I make it 12:30 on this laptop. Good morning, or sorry, good afternoon. Welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council Planning Committee. My name is Brendan McKeown, and I will be chairing this meeting. A couple of points before we get going. If you have a mobile phone, please switch it off or switch it to silent. And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting during the course of the debate? If there is any disruption, you may be asked to leave the room. On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I have officers from Law and Governance Departments. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application, not necessarily in the order as they are on the agenda, and I'll ask your help with that. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 10 minutes, and I will let you know when you've used up 9 of those minutes. Ward members are also entitled to speak up to 10 minutes. An audio recording is being made of this meeting, and it will be available on the Stafford Borough Council website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity as that enjoyed by our colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. So, members, before we get going, can I request that we just alter the way round for the applications, and we deal with the Marston Grange one first, because I think we'll get through that one fairly efficiently, and then the Sallington one after that. So, are you okay? Can we just agree with that? So, do we have apologies?
Councillor Cross, substituted by Councillor Beattie. Councillor James, substituted by Councillor Edgeler. Councillor Hobbs and Councillor Dean Norton.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Any members have an interest to declare, or any lobbying? Scott?
Again, work for Stafford Trent, but I have no bearing on their planning decisions.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Noted. Right, so...
Yeah, I'm just saying I'm the ward member for the Sallington application, but I've had no involvement in in it whatsoever.
Thank you very much, thank you. So, planning applications, we're going to deal with planning application 23/37193, land north of Marston Grange, Marston, Stafford, starting on page 67 of your agenda. It's going.
Thank you, Chair. So this application seeks permission for flood compensation works pursuant to the reserve matters approval for 700 units on land to the north of Marston Grange. As you can see on the slide here, as we viewed on site visits, the land is outlined in red to the north. With the A34 running to the west where the main site access comes off. So essentially, as we saw on the site visits, this morning, most of the development is pretty much completed, and the original consent included a flood storage area within the blue land here, within the original development site. So essentially, this application is providing a new flood storage area within the red line to provide a betterment over the previously proposed storage area, which has been agreed with the Flood Authority and the Environment Agency. So essentially, the details of that are... Right, so this is, as we can see, in the distance, the storage station. This is taken from the development site itself, as we saw this morning, and the new storage basin would be within the land there in the far distance past the digger. And I'll take you through to the images now. So the basin is sort of split into different areas. So the main part on the eastern side is the actual basin itself, and then in the remaining area there would be some landscape improvement work, so new tree planting, wildflower meadows to enhance the biodiversity value of this area. So essentially what we're recommending as officers is that the application should be approved as it involves an improvement over the previous planning permission.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I don't think we have any speakers on this particular planning application. I'll invite members to open up. Councillor Anne Edgeler.
Thank you very much, Chairman, and good afternoon, everyone. Yes, having looked at that, and that anything that eliminates flooding in Stafford is more than welcome, and I do appreciate the site visit that we did this morning, and I recommend that we accept this.
Just any other comments before we take that forward? Councillor Scott Spencer, and then Andy, did you want to go?
I just note in the biodiversity officer's comments, page 73, he's recommended some different lighting strategies, which I presume would be to be conditioned. I can't see them in the conditions unless I'm being...
They would usually be an informative for the... Yeah, is it in relation to nesting birds?
It's got lighting, minimum light levels, louvers on various things.
It should be a condition about in accordance with the ecological report.
I mean, maybe I'm a little bit blind.
Condition 4.
It's in condition 4.
Yeah, so essentially those measures were set out.
Okay, so those conditions there,
yeah,
or because it doesn't specifically mention all these lights, all the different lighting, does it?
No, because essentially the recommendations of that report included all those
as well.
Investigation,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Andy McNaughton.
I was just going to second the motion in that the development needs sorted, but there haven't been any objections. There doesn't seem to be any problem with it, so.
Councillor Scott Spencer.
Last one, apologies. Now, normally we have in these sort of things that talks about landscaping, about renewing the planting and so forth in 5 years, and it could die out and so forth. I don't see that condition on this.
It's on any planting, seeding or turfing which within a period of 5 years
yeah.
is removed, dies.
Yeah.
On page 78.
Condition 2.
It's good to see the incident number 5. That's apologies.
That's okay.
Thank
sorry.
You. Okay, as anyone has anything else to add, we'll take that to the vote. Councillor Anne Edgeler proposed, seconded by Councillor Andy McNaughton, to approve the application as it stands. Will please show. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Now move back to page 4 on your agenda. So planning application 24/38719 Stallington Sprink, Stallington Road, Light Bridge. Tom?
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Chair. Right, so the proposal relates to the construction operation of a solar array for a 40-year period, which would generate up to 30 megawatts of electricity. In this case, we've just got a few updates since the committee report was written. The first of those is there's a slight change to condition 1, which is the time limit condition, which is to be increased from 3 to 5 years. So they will have 5 years to implement the permission. That's in line with the other solar farms that we've got in the district. So on Thursday, there's another application coming forward to yourselves, and that's recommended for a 5-year consent, 5-year time limit on that. So to be in for consistency, we're suggesting that condition is amended to 5 years rather than 3.
In which condition was that?
Condition 1.
On page
54.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, and then just a couple of other minor updates as well. on in section 1.19 of the report, there's also one of the documents that's been omitted in that, which is the supporting documents that have been submitted for the application. We've received an updated public right-of-way management plan to reflect consultee comments, so that's just an additional item that should have been included in that. And then there's another slight change to the committee report in section 3.31. The report there refers to an outline decommissioning plan. This plan hasn't been produced, that's an error in the report. And conditions 4 and 5 of the report essentially require them to submit a decommissioning plan. So there's still an obligation within the decision for them to do that. Also, in relation to the presentation itself, since it was formally published, I've added in all of the viewpoints and visualisations of the development so members can get a clear appreciation of the impact from the key viewpoints. Okay, so turning to the main summary of the issues, really, officers consider that the site represents grey belt lands and does not therefore constitute inappropriate development in the green belt. It would also not involve the loss of a significant amount of the best and most versatile land, and although there'll be some adverse initial landscape impacts in terms of its impact on landscape character and its visual impact, over time it's considered this would reduce quite substantially, and the development site itself would be returned to its former condition after 40 years. In addition, the proposal would also help support the government's aims to tackling climate change and meet its requirements for net zero. So therefore, there is a general support for the application in the recommendation by officers. I'll just go through the scheme. So as you can see on the slide in front of you now, this is the development site with the main access off Stallington Road, as we saw this morning. So the site access is here off Stallington Road, with the grey areas, the PV panels themselves. And then there's also, within the keys here, you can see there's the different elements of the scheme, such as the substation, the battery storage area, etc. It lies, as we saw this morning, to the east of Stallington and to the west of Savley Green, with Fulford Village to the south. And as you can see on the plan here, the pink dotted lines is the public footpath network in the surrounding area, which extends through the application site itself, with the access tracks in orange in the various locations. Okay, lovely. So, in terms of the slides, we've got the PV panels arranged in the green area there. And then this is showing the different landscaping areas and the enhanced grassland within that. And this is the main site access situation off Savley Green Road. So we've got new access, and then we've also got visibility splays provided on either side of the access to meet the requirements of the Highway Authority. This would involve the removal of a section of hedgerow along the frontage, although there would be compensatory landscaping across the site to offset that impact. And here's an image of the PV panels themselves, and I've just got a series of images in the presentation of the sort of infrastructure that would be proposed, including the construction compounds, some elevations of the construction compounds, battery storage enclosures, that's the battery storage layout, and then some additional battery storage facilities. and then the substation layout as well. And here we have the main key viewpoints that have been identified in the landscape visual impact assessment. Some of these we visited today on the site visit. The first viewpoint we have, I'll bring up now. So this is the impact from viewpoint one. So the images on the left-hand side are basically as the site is currently. And then this is with the PV panels. So I'll switch back and forth so you can get an appreciation of that. So that's before.
That's when it's open.
And that's after.
That's when it's closed.
Yeah. So that's from viewpoint one. And viewpoint one is. This is on the footpath past Fulford Church and Fulford Hall Farm. So when we stopped on site this morning, you in the centre of Fulford, we couldn't actually see the PV panels from where we were because they are down the end of the footpath. So this image is taken off the footpath. And then that's another image of the viewpoint from viewpoint one. And then viewpoint two is the site access off Savile Green Road. So as you can see, the top image is the current situation. Then the second image below that is the new access arrangements. And again, that's reflected in the third image below that. And then the viewpoint three is, if you remember, we went down the private driveway, Lower Gorsley Farm, and when I said that we were sort of effectively on top of the solar array, so as you can see in the two lower images, you will have the panels at quite proximity to that viewpoint. And then viewpoint four was again off the footpath to the north of the site, and you can see the comparison between the existing situation and the visualisation below that. And again from viewpoint five, this was in Stallington Village, so where we stopped the bus this morning and pulled over. The panels, as you can see, will be in sort of the median view there, and that's the existing image at the top. And then viewpoint six is Long Lane, south of Fulford. So again, we went down Long Lane. Obviously, the vegetation has grown up quite considerably at this time of year, so the views weren't as clear as this, but you can see again, the top image is the existing, and the image below is where the panels will be located in relation to that viewpoint. And then this was the first stop we made this morning when we pulled in by Blythe Cricket Club, and we looked out over the surrounding landscape. So yeah, again, it's the existing situation at the top image, and then the proposed visualisations below that. The other two key points we've got, which are viewpoints 8 and 9, they're more distant views, so you won't actually be able to view the panels or the solar farm from that direction. I'll just take you back to the map to show you where those viewpoints are. So those viewpoints are to the north, so we've got 8 and 9 here, so that's 8. The other side of the A50 and railway line, so some distance away from the site. And again, yeah, so number 8, there's viewpoint 8, there's viewpoint 9. Again, like I say, some distance from the application site, so you can't actually view the panels from those directions. So, yes,
Okay, thank you very much, Tom. Now we have speakers in support of this application. Oh, sorry. The objector, first of all, Councillor Janet Crossley, if you'd like to make your way to the table there. Thank you. Thank you. Make yourself comfortable. You have 10 minutes, and I'll let you know when you've used 9 of them. Thank you.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, I come to you this afternoon as the representative of approximately 6,000 residents of Fulford Parish who have chosen to live in a rural location of 5 villages which surround beautiful Greenbelt countryside. Greenbelt countryside that has always been Greenbelt countryside. Never has it been built on or developed in any way. In British planning, the Greenbelt is a policy for controlling urban growth. The term, coined in 1875, refers to a ring of countryside where urbanisation will be resisted for the foreseeable future, maintaining an area where local food growing, forestry and outdoor leisure can be expected to prevail. The fundamental aim of Greenbelt policy is to prevent urban sprawl by keeping land permanently open, and consequently the most important attribute of Greenbelts is their openness. This proposed development constitutes inappropriate development in the Greenbelt by virtue that it does not meet the very special circumstances in which Greenbelt would be allowed according to paragraph 153 of the NPPF. The proposed development is not compatible with uses considered appropriate in the Greenbelt, and paragraph 154 applies. The proposed development does not meet any of the listed exceptions. Paragraph 155 of the framework states that sites for renewable energy are not a listed exception. During a recent visit to the parish by Alex Yendall, Principal Planning Officer with this borough, the parish council was informed by him that development would not be an issue in the parish, as virtually the entire parish is located in the North Staffordshire Greenbelt. This affirmation has been taken on board by the parish in the neighbourhood plan currently being developed. The proposed development would set a precedent for inappropriate development in the Greenbelt and create further challenges to the viability of vacant brownfields within the borough, including sites in the emerging local plan. The proposed development would encroach into the open countryside and take out 19 Greenbelt fields. 19 fields bounded by well-established mature hedgerows, woodland and trees. It would result in the loss of productive farmland that contributes positively to food production and wildlife habitats. 19 fields including 2 footpaths. Allowing inappropriate development on active farmland could sterilise the land for future agricultural use, as the condition of the land would deteriorate during operation of the solar farm. Residents of Stallington Village have only recently been able to relax and enjoy living in this beautiful countryside after enduring 18 months of an illegal traveller site, during which those households with property for sale were advised to take them off the market. The site was, quite rightly, refused planning permission because it was in the Greenbelt and sufficient land was available for such use elsewhere in the borough. The same can be said for this development. It cannot be said that this area was Greenbelt a month ago for that application, but is now classed as grey belt for this application. Such an application would be entirely irrational, applying the Wensbury unreasonable test, and give possible rise to grounds for judicial review. Fulford Village is only 300 metres from the proposed development and became a conservation area in 1978. And this proposed development is totally incompatible with conservation. Savily Green, where the proposed solar farm entrance is located, is subject to regular road closures due to flooding. Soil analysis in this area shows the soil to have a high clay and marl content, which is notoriously slow for drainage. Were the development to go ahead, panels would effectively be a roof over the soil, thus reducing the soil area by at least a half, and the runoff, if it rains, would cause further local flooding with no dikes or culverts to provide drainage. Further road closures would ensue. It is wrong to say that the area is at low risk for flooding. In addition, 4 to 5 HGVs thundering past houses in this country lane every hour for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, is unacceptable. And together with farm vehicles, there would not be enough room for 2 to pass on the road, as I personally found out on Saturday. Now I will talk about residents of areas outside the parish and outside Stafford Borough Council's area, those of Draycott, Blythe Bridge, Forsbrook and Cresswell, all areas under Staffordshire Moorlands District Council, who have not been consulted in this application, but who will be greatly affected if it goes ahead. Blythe Fields, a new housing development, will be significantly affected. This application would bring all of the area within yards of each other, thus creating urban sprawl. Connectivity with the substation would cause major issues. The applicant fails to demonstrate connectivity to the grid. To make the connection from this site to the suggested substation over 3 miles away, it would be necessary to cross the Derby to Crewe railway line, which is in the process itself of being electrified, the A50, a major dual carriageway trunk road connecting the M6 with the M1, and the River Blythe. It would be inevitable that over 3 miles of high pylons with high voltage electricity cables would be needed. No one has asked permission from any householder for there to be a pylon in their garden or high voltage electricity cables to go over their housing. Network Rail's request that construction traffic be routed away from the unmanned crossing has been ignored, possibly because there isn't another way. 56 HGVs crossing daily. National Highways have not been consulted on this particular matter. It is quite feasible that permission for this development would be classed as illegal and give further grounds for judicial review. Cresswell has recently had planning approval for 300 houses. It lies on a fairly narrow, unlit rural road. 56 HGVs thundering past homes every day cannot, in any reasonable person's view, ever be classed as acceptable in the countryside for 1 month, never mind 12 months. That is without the construction of the 300 houses. It has been acknowledged that the proposal will impact visually, even going as far as to say the effects will be minor after 15 years, although the loss of views will be unavoidable due to the large scale of the development. That must not be forgotten. A large-scale development encroaching on Greenbelt's open countryside. there will be some harm to the settling of non-designated heritage assets. There will be a degree of harm to landscape, character and visual amenity. It will give rise to significant harm to residential amenity, give no benefit whatsoever to the community, just the ruination of a rural lifestyle and the open countryside. All of this harm can be avoided altogether if this development is located on available brownfield sites. I implore the committee to leave 19 greenbelt fields of England's green and pluralistic land and to ensure this blot on the landscape is moved to an appropriate available brownfield site. Yes, we need renewable energy sources.
Can I ask you to wind up?
Five or six words.
Okay.
But the cost to this greenbelt is not worth the heavy price.
Thank you, Councillor Crossley. Thank you very much indeed. Well timed. So we have speakers now, three speakers, I believe, in support of the application. I've got Claire Chamberlain, Sarah Rocks, and Beth Thomas. Are you going to share your 10 minutes?
Yes.
I don't know how you're going to do that, but we'll let you know when you've got nine minutes into it. So before we start, who's who?
Claire Chamberlain,
oh, Claire.
Then Beth Thomas, and then
Beth.
Sarah Rocks.
Okay.
Excuse me, Chairman, where from?
Oh, so sorry. Myself and Sarah from RES, and Beth's from Arlene, who's the planning consultant. Thanks.
Let me just get this in. Beth there.
Yes.
And
Sarah.
Okay. Can we call you by those names?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
This is the slides that the applicants.
Okay, all right then. Okay, you want to use these slides as part of your
two slides?
Yeah, they were just for the background, really, just the two slides.
Okay, then let's start the 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Claire Chamberlain, Senior Development Project Manager at RES. Thank you for allowing me to address the Planning Committee today. I'll be joined by my colleagues Beth Thomas from Arlian, our planning consultant on this project, and Sarah Rocks, who's also from RES, in that order. Two of the major challenges currently faced by the UK are energy security and the need for more homegrown electricity to produce to protect consumers from volatile gas and oil prices, and the impact of climate change on our weather, agriculture, infrastructure and ecosystems. We can see the impacts on days like today when the UK is experiencing its second major heatwave of the year already. To address these challenges, the UK government has set two ambitious targets: a decarbonised power system by 2030 and net zero by 2050. The government has confirmed that electricity generation from homegrown large-scale solar will play a critical role in meeting these targets. This is recognised in the National Policy Statement for Renewable Energy Infrastructure, which states, "Solar is a key part of the government's strategy for low-cost decarbonisation of the energy sector." It is also recognised in the National Planning Policy Framework, or NPPF for short, which states that significant weight should be given to the benefits associated with renewable and low-carbon energy generation and the proposal's contribution to a net zero future. Leaford Solar Farm would be capable of producing 30 megawatts of clean energy, the equivalent to supplying around 8,000 homes every year, as well as preventing around 675,000 tonnes of carbon dioxide emissions over its 40-year lifetime when compared to the equivalent of fossil fuels. Leaford also includes battery energy storage located at the inverters only, storing electricity during times of high generation and releasing it when it's most needed, linked to the solar panels rather than having a separate grid connection. And just to clarify, the grid route is an underground cable back to the Forsbrook substation. As well as being readily deployable at scale, large-scale solar is one of the cheapest forms of new electricity generation, shown to be some 3 times cheaper than polluting gas. This makes solar farms like Leaford not just good for the environment, but also for the consumer. The site for the Luford Solar Farm was chosen for its good solar irradiation levels, its location outside of any statutory environmental, archaeological and landscape designations, and its sufficient distance from potentially sensitive residential receptors. Throughout the development process, we listened carefully to the consultees and the local community. Their feedback directly helped shape the final design, with a number of changes made as part of the iterative design process. These changes included a reduction in size from the preliminary design by nearly 40 acres, removing the southeastern and the southwestern fields, removal of solar infrastructure and additional new and infill planting to reduce potential visibility by adding new hedgerows and trees, and the removal of panels to further protect existing trees and to allow the reinstatement of historical field boundaries. All of this means that the site is not visible from the vast majority of the viewpoints. Can I say, oh, it's already on the next slide, thank you so much. There are two public rights of way, Fulford 12 and Fulford 15, which cross the site and have been carefully considered as part of the design, and we will remain open throughout all phases of the project. Significant setback distances have been achieved between the solar infrastructure and the footpaths. In the case of footpath 12, which is the northern of the two southern footpaths, there is an 84 metre setback distance between panel to panel, and from footpath 15 there is a distance of 44 metres from panel to panel, so 84 and 44 metres respectively. We have included extensive landscape planting to protect the footpath amenity value. Inverters and battery energy storage units have been positioned specifically away from all footpaths. We will continue to engage with the users of the footpaths on how Luford Solar Farm can provide local benefits through improvements to the footpath network. For example, we're aware that some of the routes become waterlogged and inaccessible during winter months and when there's been rainfall, and overgrown in the summer months, and this is something that REZ is committed to addressing as part of the development. Our commitment to protecting and enhancing the footpaths on the site is demonstrated in the Public Rights of Way Management Plan, which accompanies the application. I'll hand over to Beth.
Thank you. Solar farms are temporary in nature, and the land can be returned to its original state once the operational lifetime is over. Therefore, it's important to note that the Leifer proposal would not lead to any reclassification of greenbelt land, with such designations only being able to be changed by a local plan review, and no such changes proposed or required here. The Leifer site has been agreed and confirmed as greenbelt land, as defined within the revised NPPF, and therefore deemed an appropriate development in the greenbelt. It would not result in unrestricted sprawl, neighbouring towns merging, harm to the setting character of historic towns, or a permanent addition to the countryside. The application before you today is for a temporary consent for dual purposes. The generation of renewable energy, electricity, from a solar PV technology and continued agricultural use. The land is currently used for cattle grazing, and is proposed that sheep farming will continue the agricultural use of the land throughout the operational lifetime of the site. The Leifer project would not pose a threat to food security, and it is important to note that approximately 95% of the land which will be used by the solar farm has not been classified as best and most versatile land. The UK's Government Food Security Report, published in December 2021, states that the biggest medium to long-term risk for the UK's domestic production comes from climate change and other environmental pressures like soil degradation, water quality and biodiversity. Leifer would help tackle climate change and is specifically designed to enable continued agricultural use. Solar farms like Leifer also help regenerate soil quality and can contribute to the continued availability of quality agricultural acreage for future generations. Through a comprehensive landscape and ecological management plan, Leifer could deliver notable biodiversity enhancements. The project is estimated to bring a biodiversity net gain of 74% for habitat units and 22% for hedgerow units. Measures include the improvement of existing grassland, which is currently of low ecological value, due to regular fertiliser use and extensive grazing. Around 1.4 kilometres of new hedgerow would be added, as well as enhancing approximately 1.5 kilometres of existing hedgerow. Alongside the notable biodiversity improvements, these measures will significantly reduce potential visibility of the solar farm. We welcome the Council's independent landscape expert's conclusion that a well-considered approach has been taken for the landscape for this scheme. Potential significant effects, other than those occurring within the site itself and its immediate vicinity, would be mitigated through the landscape measure we propose, and as such accord with policies N1 and N8 of the plan for Stafford Borough. to be able to talk to the other side. Thank you.
With the environmental and ecological benefits of Leaford Solar Farm clear to see, the proposal could also deliver economic benefit to the local area. RES has a strong track record of working closely with the local supply chain around its renewable energy projects across the whole project life cycle, maximising inward investment opportunities wherever possible. The main opportunities arise during the construction phase when suitably qualified local firms are invited to bid for the different construction services. Construction materials are sourced locally and local hospitality and other services are used wherever possible. During the operation, there could be opportunities for local companies such as landscaping management and site maintenance, while the project would also pay business rates to Stafford Borough Council. While it's not a material planning consideration, if the project is consented, RES looks forward to continuing to consult on meaningful local benefits which could be delivered by the project. This could amount to up to $250,000 over the lifetime of the project and could include LEDs, our unique local electricity discount scheme, which provides an annual electricity bill discount for properties closest to the solar farm, should the community deem this to be a priority. Community feedback has also identified road safety improvements on Saverley Green Road as a potential local benefit, and a previously mentioned footpath network enhancement, improving accessibility and usability, is another initiative we would be keen to support. In summary, the planning balance is strongly in favour of this proposal and it has received no objections from technical statutory consultees. In line with the planning officer's recommendation, we respectfully ask the planning committee to support this application.
Thank you very much. Between the three of you, you used 9 minutes. Okay, if you could go back, please.
Thank you. Thank you.
Councillor Mike Dodson, do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I start with a couple of points of order?
I'll ask our legal colleagues. Yes. If you stray into areas where legals are not happy,
Could I ask if our planning department members are aware that one of their senior officers declared at an appeals court for the rejection of the travellers that the land around the area was greenbelt? And if so, which one of them is not actually telling the truth? You guys, that you're declaring land 200 or 300 metres away from the traveller site, or the legal profession appealing to the objection of the travellers being removed?
The Scallington traveller site has nothing to do with the planning application.
Yeah. No, that wasn't the question. I was a question that the development department were giving opinions in properly constituted legal committees of to what the status of the land in the area was, and they have now given two different definitions within approximately 4 weeks.
Can I adjourn the meeting for 5 minutes then?
I did ask the head of our legal division to raise the issue with you, and I have doubt that you would have been properly briefed, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
I apologise for delaying the commitments.
Okay, so we'll just adjourn the meeting for 5 minutes while we just find some information.
Yeah. Should we?
Can we stop the recording? Second. Please.